Country music stars.
Just shows what happens when you learn G, C, and D. What did you make of it, Ian Lennox?
I quite liked it, actually. I think in that sort of genre, it's difficult to sound different to a lot of other singers. There's all the R's, rolling R's, and the vowel sounds and things. But, yeah, I think he's got something of his own there somewhere.
Excellent. Good news, then, when he joins us on the programme, surely we can actually say it's all right. We're delighted to actually sort of say that... we're just dealing with mobile phones exploding from other studios in London, but Mary Dancy is doing her business and will hopefully speak to Rachel Abbott and say it's all fine, relax, all's good with the world. We can breathe. It's all right. Nobody's actually strapped explosives to themselves and actually said we're locked in. It's a reference to that. Thumbs up. As I was saying, when he joins us on the show, we can say Ian Lennox liked it. We have some very exciting news. We've held back on this because we didn't want to just hold back. But Eva, over previous days, has been taking part in job interviews. Have you not, Eva?
I have, yes.
And job interviews for what precisely?
For an NCS recruitment ambassador.
Mm-hmm. National Citizen Service.
National Citizen Service. Yep, and yes. An NCS mentor.
So there we are. An NCS ambassador recruitment and NCS mentor.
What's Ian? NCS? I've
never heard. National Citizen Service, Ian.
Yes, what does it do?
It's an activity residential and a social action project for young people.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of advertising,
yeah. Exactly. Doing wonderful things, keeping young people out of pool halls and away from people of loose morals. I wouldn't use that in a strap line, but it's important thing, you know, because, you know, young people, very important. Now, the crucial question is, I know you're keen to find out, Ian, how did Eva McDonald get on with these interviews?
I would guess you would pass because she's a very fluent lady. And she's quite confident.
Yeah, but competition, you know, we're talking the whole region here, the East
Midlands. I used to explain to all my students, you're all competing with each other for jobs in a few years' time, so just bear that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. So, mind you, that could actually lead to a kind of whodunit murder mystery scenario where the one who actually says, I'm just going to get rid of the competition. Let's not consider that. Eva, what was the result?
I got on very well. Yes. And I got both of the roles.
Got so both jobs!
I did.
Celebrations. The citizens of the East Midlands, that's Lincoln, Nottingham and beyond, are joining Tyneside to say, yes, the NCS has a brand new mentor and a brand new brand ambassador. And you could not wish for a finer son. So there we are, Eva McDonald, who's done the business. There we are.
I trust you'll still talk to Alex.
Her fees and riders have already gone through the roof. I mean, she was asking already if she wants the hot chocolate after the show. And I'm like,
have you introduced him to your agent yet, Eva?
Yeah, you may well joke, Ian, but still, never mind. Moving rapidly onwards from that perspective, what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Ian?
Oh, I've got a Tyneside reunion to go to, a Tyneside television retirees, or there's about 80 of us meeting this evening. There's some friends coming up from Nathallerton and Middlesbrough to see me, to have a chat, have a drink. And I'm off to do some shopping with one of my mates at one of these factory shop things.
And does that mean that perchance Paul Frost and probably even Cathy Secker will be there, or do you not speak to them these days?
Well, Cathy's passed on, I'm afraid.
Well, in which case...
Paul has retired, but I don't think he comes to these dudes, no. There's quite usually, I don't know. I don't know exactly who's coming. But anyway.
Hypothetically, of course, Ian, you know, Cathy might still be looking down from afar. She could well be there in spirit. You know,
oh, so. She was.
It's there.
She's my best friend at times, yeah.
Well, never, you know, and still will be. You know, let's
face anyway, it. Anyway, can I just pass on to that from that?
Because you can't pass on. You've got at least another 500 of these links to do. So, yeah, let's focus on that.
On the subject of songs,
yes.
I just came across on Facebook, I think it was, Robert Downey Jr. singing with Sting. Mm. And every so often you just hear a voice and it just completely arrests you. And he's did. It's something completely individual voice he's got, I think. And it's very, very compelling. So if you can find some songs by Robert Downey Jr., I would like to listen to them.
I mean, he is Iron Man.
Let's be fair, Alex. You pick the songs that I've got to listen to.
Very true. Very, very true.
I do it for nothing.
As do we all.
I haven't got an agent.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I could get an agent.
Arthur has actually always sung very highly of your sort of skills, etc. We'll look that one out. We'll look that one out. Doesn't seem to be there with Mr. Computer at present, but I'm sure we will look that one out.
I'm not even sure he's made records. I don't know. I imagine he must have been such high quality.
I didn't even know he could sing, so there's a...
Wait a minute now. Is it Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh,
yes. I think it was. I think it was his son.
Robert Downey Jr.
These are the kind of things that causes the little computers to give up and stop saying,
poor little computer.
We can do no Wi-Fi, and then Eva has to have a memorial service, and then we don't know what's going on with the whole thing.
Computer Neil Anarchist 1.
Yeah, exactly. There's just enough time to actually mention from John Wenham Events Diary at St. Vidast's Church in Louth. There is a 28th annual art exhibition and sale of paintings taking place on Saturday, the 28th of May. 28th year of a popular event, which will see the sale of paintings with turned woodwork, prints, greeting cards, jewellery and pottery, quality second-hand books including local history and postcards by Fair Trade Books. As well as that, on display will be preserves and homemade cakes with a tombola and raffle. So there we are, it's the 28th of May at St. Vidast's Church in Tathwell, Louth. Splendid. So, Mary, what was Rachel concerned about now?
She is going to be 5 minutes late.
She calls on a live show to burst in to let us know.
Rachel,
we appreciate all the magic. We know that obviously it was your dulcet tones that provided the Eva McDonald ident. We know that without your good self, we wouldn't have even actually had the classic line.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness.
She's making telephone calls to radio shows sort of halfway through the whole thing. Never mind.
It's okay.
We can live, we can breathe, we can actually ask Eva to put those last two questions to Ian McDonald.
Have you had a very interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, thanks. Despite being called McDonald.
And
I did say yes.
McDonald.
You did quite rightly so. Yes.
He was very old and he had a farm, Alex.
E-I-E-I-O. Ian Lennox, Eva. Apologies for that. Obviously,
merging the names.
Exactly. What can I say? Anyway, Eva Lennox is about to actually ask you those last two questions.
Yeah. And will we be hearing again from you soon?
Yes, you will, I hope. Yeah.
Excellent. Yay! There we are, Siren Ident coming up very shortly. This is Siren FM. Just like that. Absolutely wonderful. Okay, May the 26th, 2016. That's where we are. And it's a high of 16 degrees centigrade and a low of 10 degrees centigrade. Cloudy start, which is gradually fading. There was a wonderful cloud just hanging over the cathedral as I drove in this morning. Oh, that was very good. It's nice. It was a bit like sort of the lonely cloud in one of those Pixar movies.
With a little sad face in it.
Exactly. Except because, obviously, next week, Mary, you will not be on the Madrid Dragonboard edition. And this even more concerning, you forgot to mention to me beforehand that you had a question for Buck. Well, of course, we don't have a Hawaiian correspondent on today. Yeah. Where you could have asked you. He'll be on next week, if that will help. So hopefully. Claire Margerison with us as well, as indeed is Eva McDonald. In terms of the rest of the weather forecast, as we said, 16 degrees centigrade is the high, low 10 degrees centigrade. After the clouds, sunny spells will develop.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
And in the second part of the production, we will hopefully be speaking to Nilan Paris, talking about British small and medium businesses going not local, but global. Yes, going global. It's tremendous sort of material from that perspective. Here on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community station.
Beautiful people, you live in the same world as I do, but somehow I never noticed you before today. I'm ashamed to say, beautiful people, we share the same back door and it isn't right. then. We may never meet again. If I weren't afraid right next to you, you may be a beautiful people too. And if you take care of him, well, then maybe he'll take care of you. 'Cause all of the beautiful people do. And I'm a beautiful people too.
To address the particularly thorny question of dealing with travel insurance and working our way through a variety of other key things from that, we're delighted to be able to welcome two fine folk. First of all, from Travel Supermarket, the wonderful Bob Atkinson. How are you, Bob?
Hey, good morning to you.
And from iCarHireInsurance.com, the wonderful Ben Woolthorton. How are you, Ben?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Success and wonderment. Ben, if we can come to you first. This particular survey that's revealed that actually more than half of British hire car drivers are actually unaware that excess insurance policies from car rental desks may still not cover damage to windows, tyres or the undercarriage. That's in addition to actually being, you know, quite a substantial add-on to the cost of hiring the car in the first place.
Yes, that's right. What many people aren't aware of is when you hire a car in Europe, the main insurance that you're going to need is going to be included with the vehicle, but you're still exposed to an excess, which is can be around £1,500. Which you're going to have to pay if the car is damaged or stolen. Rental companies will offer you an excess waiver policy for about £15 a day, which will protect you against that excess. But in many instances, you're still not going to be covered for damage to tyres and windscreen. So that will be an additional policy that the rental desk may try and sell you over and above the excess policy that they're selling you already. So that's a common misconception with consumers there.
Bob, from a perspective of Travel Supermarket, I mean, Brits have been notorious over the years for being fairly reticent when it comes to haggling prices and so on. You presumably would actually say there is a way to actually ensure you're not spending excess money on your car hire insurance.
Well, no, definitely. I mean, Brits tend to leave buying their car hire to the last minute. And, you know, we would always say to people, don't do that. You know, book ahead, compare online, get the best prices you can. Don't rely on trying to just rock up at the desk and getting a price, because frankly, you won't get the availability. And even if you do, you're not going to get the best price. So pre-book online ahead. But then, as you say there in your question, and as Ben referred to, this car hire excess, if you take that policy out at the desk, you're going to be paying probably a lot more than you would have done by planning ahead here in the UK and buying a standalone policy. Not only would you pay more at the desk, but also the cover that you get isn't as good as some of these standalone policies back here in the UK. So to me, it kind of makes real sense. You know, if you're going to go away on holiday, you're going to hire a car, do your research, do your planning, and make sure that, you know, you get these kinds of items like your car hire excess policy here in the UK. It gives you peace of mind. It gets at you a fraction of the price. And it also means when you arrive, you don't have to start haggling and arguing with these people at the desk about prices or not. You can confidently tell them that you're covered, get the car sorted and get on the road for your holiday.
Which is exactly what we'd want to do, basically, thanks to our car insurance expert there, Ben Woolthorton, to actually provide some very sage advice in terms of dealing with going abroad and hiring cars and such like. From there, of course, if you're going abroad, you might want to consider going global with, of course, the joys of British small and medium businesses going global. There are 60% of SMEs, as we refer to them, doing business overseas. 71% of those are working in Europe. As we say, we're punching well above its weight, or our weight, as an island for centuries. International trade helps. So, to address this, the good parts and maybe some of the more challenging parts, we're delighted to be able to welcome ace correspondent from TransferWise, Vice President of TransferWise, in fact, Nilan Perez. Good morning, Nilan. How are you?
Good morning.
Excellent. Good to connect with your good self. We're sorting out a few bits and pieces there. This little research package that you've put together that reveals small and medium-sized British businesses are still being bold and going global, it's all good news, isn't it?
That's fantastic news in the sense that two-thirds of small to medium-sized businesses in the UK have some form of overseas business that contributes directly to their profitability. However, many barriers still remain.
Well, that's, I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be life if we didn't have a bit of roughage and challenge to work through that. And it would seem that we refer to this transfer trap, that some folk are actually profiting from the entrepreneurial spirit of these businesses. And indeed, earlier it was revealed that the Lloyds Banking Group has been charging small business customers hidden discretionary fees. Is this, again, another beginning of another banking debacle that's taking place?
I mean, just to be clear, it's a scandal. It's one of the biggest barriers to the growth of our small to medium-sized enterprises in the UK is financial. Receiving money from customers overseas and paying your suppliers is something all these businesses do, and banks profit off that. Typically, I think the stat that I saw recently was when paying an invoice, say, of £2,000, small to medium-sized enterprises have to pay up to £95 in a fee to a bank.
I mean, one is very tempted. In fact, I will use the word outrageous from that point of view. I mean, Claire Margerison, that's a bit of a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it just really stunts the smaller independent businesses that really do deserve the support of the banks and of our country. And I think it is a shame that they are getting cheated in such a way.
Mm. And just to jump in there on the cheated fact, so the bit that's really unusual here, the transfer trap that you refer to, is the charge is discretionary. So banks kind of make it up. They choose anything between 5% and 6.5%. There was a recent report in the Times that got hold of a bank's manual on how to charge your business customers, and it kind of said that depending on how sophisticated your customers are, play with the pricing.
Mary, your thoughts from that point of view? Play with the pricing depending on how sophisticated they are. I mean, it sounds a little bit of a wonderful phrase to actually turn around and say, let's just rip people off.
Look at those semantics there. But yes, it's an absolute scandal. I think it's awful.
I mean, is this part of a campaign, Nilan, that we're sort of looking to obviously support and work through? Is this something that actually needs and requires legislation to say, look, we can't cope with this. We desperately need to get this sorted out. This is not helping small businesses in Britain.
I think the first step is to call for the FCA to have a look into this and see if we can bring greater transparency to fees. We've been lobbying the government in the UK to bring greater transparency to the hidden fees that consumers and businesses face when moving money abroad.
I feel as though we've always had a consumer section on, because we started off this hour with obviously talking about the fees that are coming in for insurance for car hire firms and how you can avoid those and need to avoid those. What's the best way forward, Nilan, from that point of view? If we've got little business owners there, and I'll go back to yourself, Claire, you're working for Betty's Tea Room, that's an arguably small business enterprise, doing very well, looks to expand, etc. What advice would you actually give for companies who are working through this? Not to pay the tries if they feel as though they're being, I mean, you use the discretion term there, if they feel as though they're being ripped off by the bank, should they just change to a different bank? Is that important to do?
So I think the first step is really to understand how much you're being paid. Banks are relatively transparent about what they call the money transfer fee, but there's a second hidden fee that they hide within the exchange rate in a markup. So there is only actually one real exchange rate. It's called the mid-market rate. You can find it on transferwise.com, but on Google and many other sites. And try to understand from that how much they're charging in that hidden fee. And definitely do shop around or try one of the new online money transfer companies.
And inevitably, as we head towards the referendum and so on, people will say, oh, yes, this is just a European thing. Is this a global issue? Does it really matter whether we're in Europe or whether we're dealing with, you know, Australia or other parts of the globe?
This is a global issue. I mean, today with our own business, what we see is that UK businesses are transferring money to over 136 different countries. Yes, 75% of that volume is money transfer is going to Europe, but still there are many countries around the world that UK businesses need support with.
Claire, any final questions?
I think that what I would ask is whether you feel that the internet is hindering this or aiding this. Like, do you think that these companies, like the bigger banks, are able to fiddle things a little bit more because they can have those hidden costs, because there are so much to choose from that people always go to the ones that they know and have that sort of reputation?
That's a really great question. So I think the internet has helped. Or it generally always helps because it kind of brings greater transparency around information. People just didn't know about this. Two-thirds of the UK don't know that, of the British public, don't know that there's a hidden fee in the exchange rate. A few more know now, thanks to the internet. You're right that these new online companies take a while to build consumer trust. But what I've seen is that people trust their friends. And as more and more people start using these online services and hear about it from their friends who've had have had a good experience and kind of talk them through how it works, that's kind of how we see kind of these kinds of disruptions reach the financial services industry.
And finally, Nilan, the website to go to from TransferWise, presumably just put that into a search engine on TransferWise.com. That'll give you some further details to actually find out more about the issues and so on. Nilan, it's been great touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Thanks very much for having me on.
A round of applause for Nilan Parry. Very well. And again, some vital work then in terms of the continued work of small, medium enterprises, businesses, and avoiding some of those pitfalls that those nasty, horrible banks can actually put into place. Birthday to Sarah A. Chase, because it was Sarah Chase who was responsible for Cameron Tilbury joining the programme. Plus a whole range of other things when she used to work over here at Rural Media International. She's now doing all sorts of things over in the States. Used to be Hillary Clinton's intern.
Very nice.
Oh, she's wonderful stuff there. So great stuff there. A little heads up next Wednesday. Tara Bennett is back with us, and she's just said she's still coping with an exploding brain because she got to interview Joe Dante.
Very nice.
So all great stuff from that point of view. And Phil Linus is currently actually still driving, but is ensconced in Knoxville. There we are. So okay. A little news there. William Sitwell will hopefully be kind of joining us. I say that because it was, of course, the official launch yesterday of Eggs or Anarchy. So fingers crossed.
He may be a little bit sleepy.
Well, this is it. But he did promise us last week that he was going to make every effort to actually be conscious and work through that process. And still to come, we'll be speaking to it's another kind of consumer-based thing. It's a travel firm company. In fact, it's Holiday Travel Watch's very own consumer champion, Frank Branney, who is addressing this notion that, Ryanair this time, facing a £315 million pound lawsuit from angry passengers over hidden charges.
So much money.
The invoice for listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition should be actually in your electronic inbox. As just actually send an email to confirm to studio@sirenonline.co.uk. It's a very manageable fee, actually. You probably wouldn't notice it. You know, we just take our shop. Only kidding. It's a free of charge thing. Mind you, there is probably a cost for electricity if you're using that. As
that's true.
Radio
that's
functions.
True. All
too,
those hidden costs.
All those hidden costs. Are you concerned about hidden costs, Eva? Or is it a case of we've got so much lolly in the McDonald's house, so let's just let it go.
Let it go. No, I am. Hidden costs, it's a bit of a cheat, isn't it, really?
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, that's how profound those words are, obviously, from our recently celebrated National Career Service mentor and ambassador for the East Midlands.
Yep.
Tremendous. And Mary, I mean, as you head into the world of work and so on, and I mean, clearly you've had your undergraduate sort of experience. Do you get concerned? Do you just sort of like,
yes, I suppose so, because what little money I have would just be all torn apart. That's a bit tragic, isn't it?
Just celebrate the goodness of the whole thing and all will be well. And just get a couple of cats who can actually go out and find money for you.
Life sorted.
There's always a solution, always a way to achieve happiness. So the saga of William Sitwell kind of goes as follows. No sign of him having any sort of stirrings of life on Facebook. It's a bit of a challenge because
contact number that we actually had for him actually was somewhere there, and it's been temporarily mislaid. So
I
know. Yeah. So we haven't given up as yet, but it's looking less likely than it was.
That's heartbreaking. I wanted to say goodbye to him.
Oh, Lord. Never say goodbye, just say au revoir.
Ta-ta for now.
Exactly. Well, we will try and actually get connected with William Sitwell, but as I say, there's always life's uncertainty that comes into play here. We're never quite sure with respect to that. However, we have got Dr. Hilary Jones lined up now, so take it away, Hilary. Having spoken with Garrett Wong, of course, when he wasn't being Ensign Harry Kim in the Star Trek Voyager series, he was very keen to say what a wonderful thing the photonic doctor was, the holographic doctor, etc. I said, Harry, or indeed Ensign Kim, we're only seconds away from actually manifesting that in Britain, because we can say, yes, he has become fully digitalised in every sense of the word, the ideal dream of holographic doctors the world over. Dr. Hilary Jones is now officially available and digitised. Dr. Hilary, how are you?
Alex, I'm fine. What an intro.
Well, I just thought it's the Star Trek Voyager scenario just come to life, really. Finally, you can, and also your bedside manner is infinitely better than that of obviously Dr. Zimmerman. But there we are. So share with us this whole notion of clearly the notion of possibly dealing with the question, how are you with respect to folk, etc. How has this developed in terms of possibly a digital version of your good self?
Right. So the One You campaign is the latest big health campaign coming out of Public Health England, the educational arm of the NHS. And what they've done is they've created 9 digital bus stops around the country, which have interactive video screens. Now, I appear on the video screen as people are waiting for their bus, you know, whiling away some time, and I'm encouraging them to engage with me. There's a camera behind the screen which has facial recognition, so we can recognize if somebody's male or female and roughly middle-aged. And if they are, the screen will talk to them and encourage them to use a phone number where they get a message from me about thinking about small changes today that will help them to stay healthy in the future down the line. And we can direct them towards something called the How Are You quiz. Now, this is a free online quiz which anyone around the country can do. Just go online to the How Are You quiz. And it asks questions about their lifestyle, diet, drinking, smoking, exercise, sleep, stress, etc. And we give them a personalized score and then personalized advice about how they could make small changes. Because what we know is that people are definitely living longer today, but they're living longer when they get to the age of 70 or 80 with a combination of conditions, some of which in the past would have been fatal. And so we don't want them to live longer and be unwell. We want them to live longer and be healthy, and that's perfectly possible.
And that's the whole point of Hilary Jones's How Are You Health campaign. He's a hologram, somebody who isn't a hologram, but he's there in presence, in full force. Yes, Claire Margerison, your wish has been granted. The return triumphant after last night's official launch of Eggs or Anarchy. William Sitwell, welcome back to the programme. How are you?
Next week, not last night.
I think it was all last night. I mean, we did the big build-up. We had the official opening of somebody who'd been at the launch of the Leonard Nimoy stage in Los Angeles, the Star Trek thing. So, yes, that's big news there, but we have the official launch of Eggs or Anarchy. You mean we're going to have a time machine all over again, William? Never mind. Let's move on. So where exactly do we reach you or find you this morning, William?
I'm in lush and verdant Northamptonshire.
Oh, very good.
Very nice.
Claire, I know you're sort of, it's an emotional moment for your good self, because it's a chance for you to actually sort of say au revoir to
yourself. Yeah, it's my last show for the foreseeable future, since I am leaving Lincoln and going down to lovely Canterbury.
In search of that elusive gluten-free
eclair. Yes, always. Always and forever.
I think it's as rare as the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to find it.
But it will happen.
Ever hopeful.
It is important. Anyway, any questions you'd like to put to William?
What have you been up to in the last week, William? Anything exciting?
I couldn't possibly tell you what I've been up to. I'm excited.
Secretive.
I'm glad you're going to Canterbury. I spent 4 years at the University of Kent in Canterbury.
Yes.
So, there was a great pub there called the Old Locomotive, run by a wonderful landlord
called Keith Willoughby, who's now in prison. Well, let's not go into that.
it's all important.
I think we talked about that on your show
last week.
I was just having a momentary flashback there in terms of the time machine and so on. William, we've been talking on the show today about how firms, companies, businesses, and everybody seems to be being ripped off. I mean, I know Angela Rippon's all set and ready to do another Rip-Off Britain series, but Ryanair, for instance, facing a £315 million lawsuit from angry passengers over hidden charges. I mean, have you noticed this, William, in your travelling around the globe, etc., that, you know, sometimes in Britain we have banks still putting up charges for small, medium businesses and so on. Are we still in that situation?
Well, I have to say that, I mean, of course, people are always going to try and rip you off, but I think you always almost must always remember that many, many things are up for negotiation. You know, you can do deals on hotels and never accept the first price you're given by anybody. Mind you, it can be difficult if you're in a restaurant or in a bar and they say, you know, you order a pint of beer and they say it's £3. And you go, oh, I'll give you £1.50. It doesn't really work. But I think that, people do get ripped off. And I think we need to fight against these bullies and these airlines that really do rip you off with hidden charges and so on. I think it's outrageous. So, yeah, we are being ripped off, but I think also we shouldn't be naive. We should be open and aware of it.
It's certainly a case of discretionary charges, which seem to be rising the wrath of folk. Again, obviously other airline flights are available, but Ryanair apparently charging £160 literally to change a name on a ticket. Well, I suppose you've got a lot of...
Yeah, no, that's completely outrageous. And, you know, the way that they charge you for extra bags, charge you for... You know, you book a flight, then you've got to pay for your actual seat. Yeah, no, it's outrageous. But they've got, you know, if you want to fly to that little airport from that, you know, you sometimes have to pay the cost for it, don't you? So we could just stay at home.
Very
true. Go nowhere.
And how's the tennis going, William? Because that's something we haven't spoken about. I mean, normally he goes down for some wonderful practice with his son in Spain and so on. Wimbledon, obviously, around the court. French Open is happening. Is that still showing progress?
Well, yeah. My son's doing incredibly well, playing in lots of tournaments, doing well. And we're fired up this week.
Because, I believe Amelie Mauresmo is now available as a coach.
Well, we are fired up by the extraordinary courage that Andy Murray shows. You know, there he is in Roland Garros, being pushed to 2 5-set matches, and he does something that I wish I could do, which is dig deep and come back fighting. And he is a man of quite extraordinary inner strength, and I think we can all learn from the great Andy Murray.
Sage words, William. We expect nothing less from that point of view. Mary, any thoughts from yourself?
So I suppose for your upcoming book, what is your kind of book launch going to be like? Where will it be?
Eggs or Anarchy.
Eggs or Anarchy. Like, will it be a massive party? And will there be a ribbon cut? Well, like, what are you expecting?
Will you pop out of a cake, William?
Yes.
You
know? Will an egg break open?
I'm going to break out of a large dinosaur egg.
Explode.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to... Well, there are several things. I'm having a big launch party in London at an Italian restaurant called Livelli, which is in Long Acre in Covent Garden. So there'll be about 100 of my closest 3D pals will be there. Sponsored by Ridgeview, one of Britain's finest sparkling wines, by the way. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a big book launch, and then I'm holding a private lunch the following day at a great restaurant called Boysdale. And there's a wonderful magazine called Boysdale Life, which is produced for the customers of Boysdale. It's a Scottish restaurant. There's one in Belgravia, and there's also one in Bishopsgate in the City of London. And I get paid in Boysdale pounds. So I've got four... I get paid a pound a word. Boysdale pounds can only be spent at Boysdale. And for the various articles that I've written for that magazine, Boysdale Life, which is a great magazine, I've accumulated 4,500 Boysdale pounds. Hey. Which I'll be spending on lunch on Thursday. So that's
one heck of a Boysdale party. Exactly.
That'll be stage two of my book launch. And then the other things I'll be doing are, I think, big piece in the Telegraph this Saturday. I'm going to be doing Steve White in the afternoon in a week or so. Start the week on Radio 4. And I'm doing lots of regional... radio stations. I'll be on BBC Northampton tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe I can even get a slot on the midweek morning drive with Alex and the gang. Oh, or maybe to celebrate the book, we won't do a slot.
Oh no, we can't deal with reverse psychology. You know, it's bad enough. I've always maintained that Steve Wright's Afternoon Posse was ripped off from shows I was doing in Dulwich back in the day. It's all right.
Yeah, well, Steve Wright to do Steve Wright in the afternoon if I have a long dream. He's an extraordinary. Extraordinary individual, amazing guy. So I look forward to that. And on the Telegraph, in the Telegraph on Saturday, I'll be calling for a return to rationing. There's a photograph of me holding a banner in Whitehall saying, "Bring back rationing." Because actually, about the only thing we can do to combat the obesity crisis is to impose a diet on the British people and then get them exercising. But mind you, I think we'll need a war in order to make that happen. So there could be a downside to this campaign.
Not so keen on the kind of aggressive line from that perspective. You know, I think we need to ease a way back from that. We've just heard on the news that most of the nuclear ships in America are currently controlled by floppy disks on computers. Yes. That's not necessarily the best way forward. However, before you actually head off, William, I'm sure you'd like to once again join us in congratulating Eva McDonald. Yes, she's in the studio. She didn't just get one job this week. She got two jobs.
I did.
Consecutive jobs. She's now the official NCS, National Citizen Service Ambassador for the East Midlands and mentor for NCS. Not to be confused with that American crime series, NCIS, which I've often done in the past. This is the National Citizen Service, not National Criminal or Naval Criminal Investigation Service. Would you like to congratulate?
I'm staggered to be in
Thank
your company.
You
it's,
well
it's,
done. And good luck to the lady who's going to go back to Canterbury. Fine city, that. Lovely
Thanks.
Cathedral. Great, and some good pubs.
Well then, Claire, would you like to have the honour of asking those last two questions to Signor Sitwell?
Yes, I can. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I think it has. I think it's been a reasonably interesting telephonic communicational situation.
Grand. Will you be joining us again soon?
Why not? Let's do it. It's the morning after the night before.
Yay! It will happen, I know. And meanwhile, for graduates around the world...
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of it, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Depending on the weather, of course. Great stuff. I don't think it's going to be a sunscreen needing day today.
My friend wears sunscreen every single day of the year, even when it's rainy.
Good
precaution. It's always a time for Baz Luhrmann.
And there is the message of Mary Dancy. Thoughts of Mary Dancy will be available, of course, when we compile the whole thing. Okay, coming up, all being well, we'll be speaking to Frank Brierney, Holiday Travel Watch. We've kind of built him up from that sort of point of view, and I'm sure he will not disappoint.
Thank you.
Crawford. One day I'll fly away, but possibly not with Ryanair. Let's move on to Frank Brainey. Holiday Travel Watch. Frank, we've been building up to this moment as the programme's proceeded, and this does seem as though, you know, Ryanair, they've been not so pleasant to their passengers and so on. A £315 million lawsuit. Passengers obviously very angry.
Yes. I have to say, I don't think it's just Ryanair. I think there are a number of other travel entities in the frame here for this as well. But this is the one that's grabbed the headline. And, of course, it's all about transparency. And, people often ask me the question, what do I mean by that? Well, it's about, you know, setting out in clear detail what's hidden in those terms and conditions. And, you know, Alex, looking at these, conditions, they've even made my eyes water. So goodness knows what it's doing to your listeners out there.
Well, I think the one that even our culinary guru correspondent William Sitwell was quite shocked about was the £160 to actually change a name on a ticket.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, 32% of your listeners were not impressed by the airlines with those kind of charges. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, what we're talking about is a database. And either you, the consumer, changing it online or somebody in an office changing it. It doesn't cost £160. And I think this is what really irritates consumers. And, you know, it's all very well having it set out clearly as the law requires. And the airlines will say, in balancing this, the airlines will say that they're doing nothing wrong. It's all in our T's and C's. But, you know, through the booking process, there needs to be clear warnings about, you know, what happens if something goes wrong. You know, you can't just simply rely, in my view, on ticking that box and the consumer understanding what may lay ahead of them.
So how is it that low-cost airlines, supposed low-cost airlines, can actually get away with charging their customers for these basic services? I mean, isn't it a case of, you know, surely this is, I mean, they're no longer, by definition, low-cost airlines, are they?
Well, you know, that's quite a big debate. I mean, you know, when I travel, I kind of look for my all-inclusive air ticket, if you like, that includes my baggage and perhaps some meals on board. But, you know, I appreciate that consumers out there may not feel that that's the right kind of ticket for them. But, you know, the airlines will say they're not getting away with anything. It's like I say, they will say it's in their terms and conditions. But I think the problem for consumers is that there's very little enforcement on this issue about making these issues transparent. And the Civil Aviation Authority really should examine this on behalf of consumers and take direct action to encourage the airlines to set things out through the booking in the sales process, or to actually regulate for better transparency. But, you know, I can see the airlines saying, but, you know, commercially we don't want to be seen to be offering a negative view of ourselves. But, you know, let's be clear about this, Alex. You know, when you get into the aircraft, there's a little leaflet in the seat pocket in front of you that tells you that there may be some bad news ahead with the aircraft. So, you know, the issue of hidden charges, whether it's name changes or seat changes or whatever it is, you know, they really should be set out very clearly up front.
Eva, you travelled over to Spain, I think, last December.
I did, yes.
Were you concerned about the charges, or was it just a case of whatever?
No, because I don't recall seeing any charges on the plane. Uh-huh. So awesome. That was a safety precaution.
Okay.
Well taken.
Okay. Mary Dancing?
I don't know. I travelled to Japan like a while ago, so I was expecting it to be expensive, but I don't think, if they're hidden costs, well, I just didn't see them really. So that's the thing. So I don't think I even knew they existed.
Is that actually one of the key points, Frank, that, you know, because by definition, again, they're hidden, we don't realise that these charges are there?
Yeah, I it's interesting hearing what's just been said. That is the real experience of consumers. And I'll tell you one area where it really hits home on consumers is if, say, consumers are attracted by the headline price figure, whether it's a low-cost airline or booking a ticket through a travel agent. The travel agent's airline tickets are the ones that cause a lot of problems, because if you have to name change or make some changes to the ticket, you can't talk to the airline. They will send you back to the agent. And the agent's terms and conditions are, in some cases, quite horrendous. And the charges are perhaps even worse than perhaps some of the low-cost airlines' charges as well. So, you know, that cheap ticket suddenly turns out to be almost a business class cost ticket for flying economy.
And Claire, your own experiences?
I haven't actually. I've flown twice in my life, and a lot of my friends have never been abroad.
She couldn't afford to do much more, at least.
I know. And I feel like I'd like to ask, where should people start? If they're wanting to fly, if they're wanting to go on holiday and flying is involved, where should they start to not get caught in this trap?
Right. Well, preparation is always the key, because we can think ahead, if you like, about things that may happen in our lives. And say if you're getting married, or perhaps you may have to cancel because you've got a job change or something like that. The starting point in all of this, whether you're buying a package holiday because there are problems there with the definition of all inclusives, for example, but whether you're buying a package holiday or whether you're going directly to an airline or an agent, is to look at those terms and conditions. I will be the first in the queue to admit that I have also ticked the box without reading the terms and conditions. Everybody does this, and you really need to get into that detail. And one of the key things is many of them are now linking to what they call their tables of charges. Print those tables of charges out, examine them, and think about your own circumstances. And do this before you actually book. That is probably the best thing that you can do before you start to make any travel arrangements.
You see, he hasn't disappointed. We knew as we were building to this glorious climax, Frank, that you would be on the case from that point of view. Just a couple of final ones at this particular stage. Is it possible to claim back the price of a delayed flight?
Yes, it is. The European Regulation 261/2004, a very important number for your listeners to listen to. Essentially, a European Court of Justice ruling said if you've been delayed for 3 or more hours, you're entitled to compensation. So it could be 250, 400, 600 euros per person, and it's dependent on the distance that you travel. But here is the catch. The airlines may turn around and say, no, we're not going to pay you because we're going to use our defense of extraordinary circumstances. Now, that's gone through the court. That's why it's gone to the European Court of Justice. But the European Commission in April 2013 produced a list of what is and what is not an extraordinary circumstance. And that is a really useful list. So if your listeners Google extraordinary circumstances, European Commission, April 2013, they will get that list and they will be able to make their arguments around their compensation points. So for example, like with some of the consumers that come to our helpline, a flight crew not turning up or the flight documentation not arriving on time or some technical issues are not a defense to pay against paying you compensation. So it's really important that you make yourself familiar with that as a consumer.
And presumably they don't have the leaves on the tarmac excuse for you to say.
But I think I'm just trying to think of some of the unusual ones. I mean, one of the ones is sort of like the de-icing didn't work.
Always a classic.
Which is a bit of a concern.
A reminder, you can, of course, support the battle against Ryanair by going online to obviously work through that. I think over 5,000 people have sort of signed up to the appeal as well from that perspective. So that's the way forward. And holiday travel watch, its own website, presumably, Frank, people can go there as well to find out further details.
Yes, we're not connected with this particular lawsuit, but any of the issues that we've been talking about, say like unfair trading regulations, flight delays, so on, all on our website, all the W's, holidaytravelwatch.com, or you can talk to me on Twitter at HTWFrank.
Absolutely wonderful. I think a round of applause for Frank Browning, please.
Thank you.
Take it, Frank. You've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, and hopefully you will return again in the not-too-distant future to keep us abreast of ways forward. Frank Browning, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you very much. All the best.
With the Specials and Concrete Jungle taking us out of the last May 2016 Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we say thanks to Miriam Akdar, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Dr. Hilary Reynolds,
William Sitwell, Frank Bryony, a whole heap of others, and you, of course, dear listener, for actually joining us. I can't believe we fitted in so many sort of fine folk.
I know, it's been an eclectic jungle, hasn't it?
Working our way through there. Claire, have you enjoyed your final show to date?
Yes.
Back again in the not too distant future.
Yes, it's not the end.
Exactly. All sorts of things happening there. Likewise, Mary.
Yeah. End of an era.
Well, exactly. In fact, without Claire, you would not have been here in the first place. So there we are, sort of sequence for that. And Eva.
Yeah, I'm going solo. Flying solo.
She will, exactly, and do wonderful things accordingly. Okay, that's it. We're out of here. Lots of great stuff coming up during the course of the day. Drive time, as ever, with a fine Thursday team, plus, of course, a whole heap of other goodies, including Sound and Next Vision, which gets an airing between 7:02 and 8:00 this evening.
Very nice.
Wonderful. Volume 17 of that. So that's it. That's a wrap from us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. I'll be back with the Midweek Drive next Wednesday with a whole range of spoken mouthpiece poetry people there, and hopefully Professor Jason Whittaker as well. We're out of here now, I feel, as we go up to the news with Morrissey and last of the famous international playboys. So, a one, a two, a three, shall we say?
Bye! Bye.